a shot, runs into the box, shot,
score! It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we talk soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, in the hemisphere, on the planet. It's what we do. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, each and every week. Tonight, I've got a special guest. I mean, not super special because you've heard her plenty on 92.9
The Game. Whoa, not special.
I mean special, but mean? Not like never heard before. Madison Cruz, who you know very well. You'll hear her tomorrow in pregame for Leagues Cup with Atlanta United. What's up this evening, Maddie?
Oh, nothing much, you know, just getting, it's a quick turnaround. So it's, you know, trying to get enough sleep, but also, again, soccer's on. So I, you know, can't sleep when that happens. And then it's, you know, getting ready for tomorrow because it's double match day for Atlanta United. It's the 2s in the morning and then you have Atlanta United at night hosting the Coxa.
Yeah, 2s at 11 a.m. is bizarre. Wild. It's first wild. Off, what are you doing New England Revolution with the brunch special? I don't really get it, but we'll have that game on the SDH network. You can listen to the call starting at 10:30 with pregame if you are a real MLS Next Pro sicko. I hope you're a Leagues Cup sicko because I'm very, very frustrated with some of the commentary around this country, because it's really just this country. I'm not seeing the type of negativity about this tournament in Mexico that I see from some folks who have accounts that have a lot of followers and have a lot of clout, who have just consistently been negative about this tournament. When you actually watch the games, and we've already seen some tonight, they've been wildly entertaining. We saw it last year in Leagues Cup with Atlanta. Second game against Santos wasn't great as both teams tried to eke it out, but it was compelling. The first game was a fever dream against DC United. This tournament is fun. And for Atlanta United, it's an opportunity to try to make something out of 2025.
I agree. I think it's an opportunity to fight your way, to kind of come back into this season and almost rewrite it in a way, I think. And I like Leagues Cup too. I said it in Dispatch today on the SDH network. Like, I really enjoy this tournament. I think it's one of the things that I really loved about the Club World Cup was getting the chance to learn so much more about different clubs around the world. And even too, like, I found some new love for Liga MX. I really love watching Pachuca. I think like they're a fun group to watch. And I've really enjoyed it. Club America is another one that I've always enjoyed as well. And now you get to watch it all. And it's always fun, too, I think, to see the interleague matchups, especially, too, because you're already seeing some tension within a couple of them. I mean, look at the Columbus match. I mean, you're seeing a lot of it already, and it's a ton of fun to watch. And I don't like when people are so negative about it. Can we just be happy? But I guess not. We can't be happy. But I do enjoy it. I think it's a fun tournament. It's a fun tournament. I like the way that it's different now. I actually really like the way it's set up too, with the phase one. Then you go to the knockout round. I like it. I think it makes it more competitive and it makes the group stage, I think, matter more, especially with the points in mattering more, where it's not just, oh, well, I just have to tie and then we can go to a penalty shootout. It's whatever. Now it's like, okay, you know, you need to get 3 points wherever you can. And I like the new format of it.
Yeah, every goal matters more with this new setup. If you're a wannabe Leagues Cup sicko, here's the setup now. It is 18 MLS teams. It's 18 Liga MX teams. Basically two groups. One of the MLS teams, one of the Liga MX teams. The group stage is sort of similar to Champions League in its new format, where you're not playing the old school groups where you play everybody in your group. You're playing teams from the overall pool. Now, in MLS and Liga MX, in this situation, you're playing teams from the opposite league. So it's three games for Atlanta United against three different Mexican clubs. It's Necaxa tomorrow at the Benz. It's Pumas Saturday in Orlando as part of a doubleheader at Interinco Stadium. And then next Wednesday, it is Atlas and Gonzalo Pineda making his return. to the Bens. So you've got storylines. You're playing three games against teams that you don't normally see. And the best four teams from each league, so four of 18, the best four go on into the knockout round. The quarterfinals will be MLS versus Liga MX. So you will have all MLS versus Liga MX matchups all the way through. The first time you could have teams from the same league playing one another is the semifinals. I love the format. I think they nailed it with the setup. I like that you're playing three games in a row. You're not taking a long break from league play. If teams get into the knockouts, they'll play those later on in August. That's fine. It's a very good format. I think they got it right now. And I think this year's tournament could be the one that hopefully puts this on the map for a lot of people. If they can just get over people with high follower counts who like to be negative about everything new in the soccer world.
I don't understand why. Like, because I think it's more soccer, So I don't know why everyone's so upset about it. I'm like, it's more soccer. You get to watch
it's
more soccer.
Compelling soccer with friction between sets of teams. That's what you want.
Yeah, which is why, like, I'm excited for the matchup tomorrow between Atlanta United and Necaxa, because Necaxa, the way that they play is so different than I think Atlanta United is seen, just because of the way they play. They're very man-to-man in how they play. They're going to be in your face. So how does Atlanta respond to those moments? Because Atlanta's handled the pressure well. When they've had the ball, they've been able to handle when the other team's coming right at them. But it's a little bit different with the way Necaxa does it too. So it'll be really interesting to see how I think Atlanta navigates it, what the message is from Ronnie Dyla to the team and how they manage it. And it's going to be really interesting. I'm excited. I'm pumped about it. I'm ready for it.
I think the matchup tomorrow really lends itself to being a very interesting game. Necaxa, led by Fernando Gago, the manager who did pretty well in Argentina early in his managerial career. You'll remember him as a legendary midfielder, one of the best, honestly, of his generation. He started his managerial career in Argentina, small club out of Aldo Civi originally, built up, grew, went to Racing, then made a big move to Chivas in Mexico, and then decided to leave suddenly when Boca Juniors came calling. And he upset a whole lot of people. There are a lot of people. Our old friend Piojo Herrera, who's now managing the Costa Rica national team, he was taking shots at Necaxa for hiring Gago because his stint at Boca did not last very long. It did not go well. He didn't get the team into the Copa Libertadores. They were knocked out by Alianza Lima. Then they lost to River in a huge Super Clasico, and that's pretty much going to sign your termination papers. So he's landed on his feet at Necaxa, and he's starting to build this team in the style that he wants to see them play. It's a work in progress, but they're young, they're energetic, they play with high intensity, they press, and they press in a lot of times man-to-man. So that creates opportunities for Atlanta United. And let's talk about the five stripes a little bit. This is a team that, as we get reminded on Twitter at times from folks, this is a team that hasn't won in a long time. This is a team that has had opportunities to win and hasn't been able to get it over the line. This is a team that has rescued draws late recently as well. So it's really contradictory where Atlanta United is these days, because teams that have the record that Atlanta has should not be pulling games out in the last minutes of stoppage time, but they are. I do think you can kind of draw a line, Maddie, from when this team shifted back to the 4-3-3 and got a full week of training in it. Not the first time they did it, but really after that, I think you're seeing better and better soccer being played. It is not resulting in wins yet, but you're seeing a better foundation for the way this team wants to play. And now it's down to the fine margins to start to turn some better play into better results.
Going back to the 4-3-3, it's something Ronnie's talked about and mentioned, especially with the way he wants Atlanta United under Ronnie Dyla to be. They want to play in a 4-3-3. That's where he initially wanted to. You had to adjust because of the personnel, trying to figure things out where the pieces fit. You're trying to get something going. Moving back to it, I think you figured out what works now. And I think you're figuring it out, and it's still a puzzle piece. You're still trying to move in some pieces of like, okay, this piece might fit here, but then you think it does, but then the little loop doesn't actually fit where you think it goes, and then you have to move it around again. I think that's where Atlanta United is now. But I think you're slowly filling it in. And I think it's with the performances. I think you look back to Charlotte, you look back to Seattle, you had really good first halves. I would arguably say some of the best first halves we've seen this season from Atlanta United. And then it's what we've talked about earlier on this season too, and what we've been talking about consistently is keeping that up throughout the next 45. When you go to halftime, how do you keep up? How do you get back into it? What do you need to do to keep the consistency? And also eliminating small mistakes. Because I look at the goals against Seattle. I said it this morning on the morning show with John. Those goals were very avoidable goals. And they were very small mistakes that should not be happening, especially when you are in the lead and you are arguably in control of the match. And you didn't allow Seattle to have one shot in the first half. And then you allow them to get two.
Yeah. Before we get into kind of the roster moves, because that's another element of what's going on with Atlanta United at the moment. You look back at this game against Seattle, and it was a good first half. I think the first half against Charlotte was a good first half. I think Seattle was even better. But you only got one goal to show for it in both cases. And it's something that in this League's Cup tournament, with goals being at a premium in it, because you're probably going to have teams separated by goal differential in terms of making it to the knockouts and not. You have to take full advantage of when you're playing well. And I think Atlanta United hasn't done that enough here. Not even just maintaining that level into the second half. And the first 15 minutes of the second half have been a dumpster fire for Atlanta United this season. It's something that has to change. But when you're playing well in the first 45, got to get more than one goal to show for it. And I think that's kind of the next step for this team in the way that Ronnie Dyla wants to play with. He wants this team to slam their foot down on the gas and make it difficult for opponents to function. They're not there yet, but I think we're seeing signs that it's building. The floor has been raised. The ceiling, I don't know where the ceiling is right now. And that's kind of what this roster evolution is going to maybe help us understand. And we're nowhere near done with it because the window's still open for a few weeks. So far, if you're catching up on Atlanta United roster moves, you have had Efrain Morales be traded to Montreal. You have had Noah Cobb loaned to Colorado Rapids. He could come back. They could make that permanent. You've had Luis Abram permanently bought out in his contract, so he's no longer on the roster. That's three center backs. You've added Inea Mihai, who made his debut on Saturday. You have added Juan Berrocal, who will be making his debut sometime soon, maybe before the end of the League's Cup. Maybe once you get back into league play later this month, waiting on the visa when it comes to him. You've added Leo Afonso, who will give you depth and potential starting minutes on the left side. He can play up top as well. He comes over in a trade from Inter Miami, a young, promising player who did really well at the University of Virginia. And you're rumored to be in the mix for quite a few different players. We'll leave the rumors to the side. But, Maddie, as this roster is sitting right now before we go to break, how did you feel about Mihai and what you saw of him against Seattle? And what do you think Ronnie Dyla wants to see from this back line with three center backs out and two new ones in?
I really liked Mihai, I think, when he checked in as well. I immediately noticed, it's something we talked about afterwards, something that I took notice of as well. The second he was coming in, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think he came in actually right when a corner kick was happening or around that time. It was really early on when he had checked into the match. There was a corner. I remember seeing him directing traffic, getting players all over the place and managing the area and telling players when they needed to be. And I like that. I like having a player who is coming into the team who's new but isn't afraid to make their voice heard. I think you need that in the back line right now. I also really, I like the fire that he brought. He was kind of pushing around a little bit in the box, you know, getting in the faces a little bit, which I don't mind. I don't mind it at all. You're an opportunity. It's a corner. You want to make something of it, do it. And I like that Mihai took the step and he did it. He was unafraid. I like that. And I think he's going to bring a really positive influence, I think, to that back line. Juan Berrocal coming in as well. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he can bring to that back line as well for Atlanta United. Once he gets his visa and everything gets sorted, I'm really excited to see what he brings as well. And then Alfonso as well is one that we've talked about. We saw with the Inter Miami too as well, brings in that quality up top. is really solid, played very well in college. And from what I've seen from him in Miami too, I really like him. I'm excited to see what minutes he can bring and what he can bring up top as well. I think you're in the business of roster moves. Chris Henderson's talked about it. You know, you're trying to make this team better in this roster window. And I think you're moving the steps. You're seeing what Atlanta is trying to do. Not only, I think, trying to build and get some more reinforcements on the back line, but getting some reinforcements up top as well, trying to help out and round things out up there.
Yeah, you're trying to make this team stronger so your designated players can produce more, because that's what it's going to come down to. Is you're going to need more goals out of Latte Lott, out of Miguel Almiron, out of Alexi Maranchuk. Goals, assists, chances created. You're going to need that, but you've got to be stronger defensively because this team's conceded too many goals this season. We'll talk more about Atlanta United. We'll talk more about Leagues Cup. We'll talk a little bit more about Necaxa, the opponents, tomorrow night when we come back from the break. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with more Atlanta soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta soccer tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta soccer tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, joined by Madison Cruz this evening as we get ready for Leagues Cup tomorrow night, Atlanta United and Necaxa. Now, we talked about center backs and the new center backs on the roster. Enea Mihai getting back to full fitness. He's been training on his own, but soccer fitness and gym fitness, two very different things. We saw him for, what, about 25 minutes or so on Saturday night, maybe more minutes in him tomorrow night. We'll find out what that lineup's going to look like about an hour before kick. But one player that is back in the lineup and contributing, he started and he went about 65, 66 minutes or so on Saturday. Steon Gregersen, been out for, I think, 11 weeks in total. He spoke to the media today after training, and here is a part of the conversation that Maddie and I had with Steon this afternoon.
Playing a team that presses so aggressively, how does that change your mindset in the back and build up?
No, we're going to change a little bit, but it's not different. We want to play our game, our identity. But of course, if they go man-man, we have to try to drag them out and open the center and play upset and then go through. So, yeah, it's a small different, but we're gonna be prepared for it.
For you personally, how challenging was it to rebuild your fitness with such a long layoff?
Of course, it's very tough to not be involved. Just running around here with Chris, but we have worked very hard, and you can see I played almost 70 minutes after 3 months. So, but my fitness, I feel good. Yeah.
Looking back at Saturday, what were your takeaways from the performance on Saturday night?
First half, top. Second half, not so good, and that's we had struggled a lot with that this season. We just perform in 45 minutes instead of 95. So we have to fix that very fast also. It's not over MLS, but of course it's tough now to reach the playoff, but we haven't given up. So yeah, soccer, everything can happen. So yeah.
That was Steon Gregersen speaking to Madison and myself this afternoon after Atlanta United training. Maddie, I think Steon played pretty well on Saturday. He is at fault in at least some form on the first goal. I think there's a misjudgment on maybe making that risky of a play, going up for an aerial duel, getting kind of sealed off by Albert Rusnak, not getting to the ball, and that created a 3v1 the other way. I mean, probably at that point, just drop and protect. There's also fault in terms of Seattle being able to launch the ball out of their defensive third as well. So it's not all on Steon, but maybe a little bit of rustiness in that sequence. What did you make of Gregersen's overall play on the night and now the competition at center back that he's a big part of?
I thought Steon played pretty well, especially with having the rust, you know, being gone for so long and coming in and playing 60. I wasn't for sure if he actually would be able to play up until 60. I thought he'd be out right at halftime. That was initially what I was saying to Abe on the pregame show before. I expected that maybe we see Steon check out and Mihai comes in at the half. But I understood why, because it was working. What you had was working really, really good. And you don't want to change something if it's working, especially when you know in the second half you've had those lapses where things maybe haven't gone your way. You want to keep something consistent going into it. And I think that's the right call. And I think Steon did play really well, especially for that lapse of judgment. But I think that happens with rust. I don't blame that personally just on anything. I think it is just, you know, you haven't played for a long time. Maybe you misread that moment. It's a little bit different in training than it is, you know, in a real life game in those moments. And so you misjudge it and then, you know, it's a mistake. You learn from it and then you move on. And it's just, it's about learning from the mistake and getting better. And that's what I think this competition is. Steon talked about it today in media that it's healthy competition. It's good competition. You want to have that. You want to have somebody who's pushing you to be better, to help compete for minutes on the field. And that's what it's going to do, bringing Barcola as well as Mihai coming into the fold. They're going to create a lot of that competitiveness between Steon Gregerson, between Derek Williams, between Ronald and Matt as well, who have filled in before with the center back role as well. But those are the main four as well listed as center backs. But that's going to create a lot of healthy competition between all of them.
Yeah, and that's what Ronnie Dialo wants. That's what makes the team better. And he's had a big influence in the players that are being brought in. You know, Chris Henderson spoke about it last week. He has conversations with Ronnie multiple times a day about all the possible moves that are materializing and what really Ronnie needs and wants in this roster. I think you're starting to see this become a Ronnie Dialo team. You're starting to see it become a Chris Henderson team as well. Now that they've had time to build, let's hear from Ronnie Dialo. He spoke to the media as well. And this is the portion of the conversation with myself and with Madison from earlier today with Atlanta United manager Ronnie Dialo.
How important to play a pressing team like Necaxa is it to stay true to your principles and the way you want your team to play?
Yeah, we have to do that, you know, and you have to move the ball quick, as I said, and you have to break lines and then have the timing between upset, switch, upset, in between and over. That's important. And then also, you know, to press well. And so it's not we're talking about established attacker. It's also about transitions when we win the ball. That is very open in the center. So we have to do what we are doing good, even better and longer. I think the two first halves we have played now, it's very, very high level on. And it's just now to do that longer, we concede, and I think we mentally, something happens when we concede, because it's like, oh no, happens again. And then everybody wants to win the game, and then you start to take shortcuts, because you're thinking, I need to get a goal. Thinking that I'm going to do it now, I'm going to help the team, and then you start to do it by yourself. So we just have to keep on doing what we're doing good. And that is what we have talked about over and over again. And that discipline. So take away the easy mistakes, of course, that's important. But also deal with ups and downs inside the games. It's important.
Talked about dealing with the team pressing you. But in these past few games in the 4-3-3, it feels like your press has been better. Are you happy with the progression?
Yeah, a lot very. So that's what we do on the ball is the major thing. And of course, the simple things we have to do, right? Like the technical things that we do, like the first goal now, long ball, we have to deal with these kind of things easily. But they had, the last game they had, I'd say, 7 chances and they scored 5 goals. So again, the chances they get is too big. And we are there too effective. And we have to take away those simple mistakes.
How have you seen Brennan improve over the last 2 games where he's gotten a start there on the left side?
I'm very happy with what he has performed. You know, he of course many things he has to improve, but he does the simple things right. That means he's defensively in very good position. He works really hard. He attacks space all the time. He drags on first post in the crossing. He opens space as well. There he gets chances himself. So that's what we want in a winger. So he's and he has skills. We hit the post there. He's been involved in goal chances. So I'm excited about that. He's only 19, 20 years old and has the future in front of him. So he will be an important player in the future.
So many different things in that from Ronnie Dialo in his conversation, just with us as part of the media conversation at training today. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. That was Ronnie Dialo. I'm Jason Longshore alongside Madison Cruz. And Maddie, I mean, we talk about it a lot when people ask about Atlanta United and are trying to figure out where the club is going in terms of how they play and how they want to play and all these different things. When we really get into the chalkboard and the X's and O's and the whiteboard and moving the magnets around, we're really digging into it. If you listen to Ronnie Dyla and what he says when he speaks to us before games, when he speaks to the media after games, when he speaks to you on the field after games, he is super clear in what he wants and what he likes and what he doesn't like and what he is trying to accomplish with this team. You know, we've been lucky to have a lot of really open managers in speaking to us and being very open in talking about tactics and style and philosophy and principles. I think Ronnie might be the most expansive in a public forum about what he wants and how he sees this team and what they can be. That 2 minutes and 40 seconds is like a textbook on what he wants Atlanta United to be. And I hope that people don't purely look at results, especially now where the season is, and look at what he's saying in terms of what he wants this group to be in the future.
This isn't a one thing fix all. Like, it's not as simple as, oh, this player needs to go. This thing is done. It needs to be fixed. This is
not
that.
If you want it to last.
Exactly. And I think that's where it's gotten. And that's just not the thing. And, you know, I don't like immediately when a season doesn't go well, you're immediately calling for the manager's head, because it's one of those things where that shouldn't be the case. And I think, and I agree with you, every single time Ronnie Dyla has chatted with both of us in the media, me down on the field as well, very open and very clear about what he wants, what he likes, what he didn't like in a match. He was up front with me after the Seattle game, is that you should not have allowed what happened in the second half to happen, yep, especially with the way that you played in the first half. And that shouldn't happen. And like, just the way, like, I think he's been very open about what he wants this team to be. And I think he's also been very open that it's getting there. You're seeing that progress being made. You're seeing it in tiny moments. And now it's just kind of filling in the rest of the puzzle, filling in the rest of those moments, filling in the painting. And that was the analogy he used earlier this season. You're filling it in. You're finally getting to the point where I think you can add some fine details. You're finding those moments. And that's what you're seeing from Atlanta United right now. It's just keeping it consistent and finding those moments and finding that consistency. But Ronnie has been absolutely completely open and transparent about what he wants this team to be, what he wants Atlanta United under Ronnie Dyla to be. He wants it to be high pressing, high attacking, high intensity football at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And we've seen it in increments. We just have to see it for the full 90. And we're seeing it. And personally, I think you're seeing it a lot from some of the players that have made an impact the last couple of games. For me, again, it's one that you mentioned, Luke Brennan. I think Luke Brennan has been outstanding in the last two starts that he has had. He was incredible against Seattle, and I think he created so many moments. He was getting into those pockets. He created the own goal that started the whole thing in the first half. It's a beautiful sequence that starts with Ronald Hernandez, a beautiful ball over the top to connect to Miguel. Miguel then finds Latte Lath up at the top at the arc. Then he connects to Brennan. And it's so brilliant from Brennan to hold up, to allow for Manu to run in and create the space for Latte Lath to then receive the ball to create it. It is so intelligent from Luke Brennan. And that's what Ronnie Dyla said. He keeps it simple. It's very simple in what he's doing, but it's simple and it's what Ronnie Dyla wants. And it's a player that you can build, that you can continue to help develop. And that's what Ronnie Dyla does best. He did it at an NYC. He has done it at every single club he has been at, is develop players and put the time in to help them grow and develop. That's what Ronnie Dyla does as a coach. And we're seeing it with so many players on the field right now, not just young talent. You're seeing it with Bartosz Sliszcz as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing it all over the place. And so that for me is, it's like we talked about, especially in so many different areas, it's the development of players as well that's so important to coaching, that a lot of people get so caught up, I think, in, oh, well, it's all about results. It's all about winning. Yes, winning is a part of it. Absolutely. But leaving that impact and helping players grow is another big part of coaching, and how they grow and how do they get better under your time as manager. And Ronnie Dyla has already made that imprint in just one season, and the season's not even done yet. And you've seen so many players emerge in those moments.
Yeah, before we go to break, I think when I look at this team in 2025, it's not about the way that they want to play. It's not about the principles of play. It's not about game-to-game tactics. It's not about the game model. It's not about any of that in terms of what isn't working. I think you've had some poor performances from players. I think you've had some, I think getting the right fit of roster for the way that Ronnie wants this team to play, and you're getting closer to that now. I think maybe Ronnie's been let down in some ways. If I look at mistakes that he has made, and I think he talked about it, he said he kind of compromised what his philosophy and principles are when the team shifted to a back five. He was trying to get some short-term results because results are the currency that managers deal in. It's the part you can't control, but it's the currency. If you win games, you're going to get more time. If you don't win games over a period of time, it's going to end up costing you your job. That's just the facts of the industry. In my opinion, the results have not been determined by Ronnie Dyla's contributions to this team. And I think Chris Henderson and Garth Lagerwey and Arthur Blank ultimately all see that. And now they are trying to give him the tools to get this team where he wants. And I think since he is now building the team that he wants, you're seeing progress. And I'll go back to something he said at the very beginning when he was hired. He is always looking for the team to be progressing. He is always looking for players to be progressing. When they're not progressing, he's not that interested in the players. If they're not trying to get better, and maybe that results in some of the players, I don't think all, I think the young players who were moved on by Atlanta United are in a different conversation. I think when you look at guys like Luis Abram and Mateusz Klich, and you know, Ronnie probably doesn't feel like he was making them better, and that wasn't helping the squad. And that's why you're moving on and now getting guys who are ambitious and hungry and coming in, and we will see what this new group does. Because, yeah, you're going to have to get some results. But right now, I think it's about the short-term results of Leagues Cup and in the long-term of building and being a contender in 2026. And we'll see what this process is like. We'll be talking about it the whole way here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. But coming up next, it's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, final segment. Y'all know how it goes by now, the 3-4-3, and it is brought to you, as always, by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. I'm Jason Longshore. She's Madison Cruz. We've got three local stories. We've got four headlines, and we've got three things that make us smile about this game that we love so much. Let's start on the local side. Number one, Atlanta United 2 in action tomorrow morning. Yes, morning. 11 a.m. kickoff in Foxborough, Massachusetts against New England Revolution 2. The schedule makers are crazy. New England's crazy for hosting a game at 11 o'clock. It's probably going to get pretty hot in the second half on the turf in Foxborough. But, Maddie, we haven't seen the twos in a little bit of time on the road. It's been about a week and a half. What are you looking forward to about Atlanta United 2 tomorrow morning?
Well, I'm looking forward as well, because this will be the first time we get to see Jose Silva in charge of Atlanta United 2 as he is taking over as the interim head coach as Steve Cook departed to go take a job over at Lexington for USL Championship, which congratulations, Steve. And we wish you all best of luck over in Lexington as well. We'll have to SDH road trip over to see him over in Lexington at some point, 92.9 as well. But Jose Silva gets his first match really in charge. He had two matches last season when Steve Cook did receive two red cards. He did take over in that sense as well.
I think he won both of those, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so as well. Like, I was thinking about this too, but I needed to be 100%.
I know one of them in Huntsville that he won. I think he won both that he was in charge as a caretaker when Steve was suspended.
But I'm excited to see how the team responds, because right now they have they have 16 matches played, and most of the other teams in MLS Next Pro only have 19. They have multiple games in hand, and they're very close to clinching, especially in the playoffs when you look at the points race, and that helps as well. But you got to start making those things count. Got to get a win tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Foxborough against the New England Revolution too. But it's going to be difficult because they're a very good side as well.
Got to turn draws into wins. We'll see if Atlanta United 2 can start that process tomorrow morning. You'll be able to listen to the game starting at 10:30 with pregame, 10:30 a.m. pregame on the SDH network. You can listen at soccerdownhere.net by clicking listen, or you can listen on the Mixler app. Number two on the local stories, the Premier League Summer Series coming to Atlanta on Sunday. The final games of the series, it is Everton and Manchester United in the second game of the doubleheader. It's West Ham and Bournemouth in the first game. Tickets available at Ticketmaster. And there's a bunch of events all over town this weekend. Everton is doing an event on match day at Hudson Grill Midtown on Sunday morning. I know there's a trivia contest. There's club legends that are going to be there. West Ham is doing an event at Brewdog Atlanta on Saturday night, I think also with club legends. Jack Collison, who you heard in an AST special last week, he's going to be part of that. And then, Maddie, you're going to be part of an event Friday night at the Brew House, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be from 4 to 9. We're going to have an appearance from Wes Brown, as well as the Premier League trophy is going to be there as well. I'll be there interviewing a couple of fans from all four of the clubs, as well as Kevin Egan, who will be there to also interview Wes Brown as well. So it'll be a fun night. Come hang out with us at the Brew House, you know, at the number one sports bar in the world. Let's go.
Well, number one soccer bar in the United States.
I'm still saying number one in the world.
That's fine.
I'm saying it, and it's done. But yeah, it'll be a fun Friday to kind of kick everything off. Headed to the weekend and getting things rolling before the summer series comes to Atlanta on Sunday.
Brewhouse Cafe, 4 to 9 on Friday night. We'll have some content coming out of that on 92.9 and on SDH as well. Number three on the local side, the Atlanta United Unified team, which is sponsored by Gallagher, they've traveled to Houston, Texas. They're going to play in the Genuine World Cup. It's an international competition with teams from over 30 different countries, and the competition raises awareness for the inclusion of people with intellectual disabilities and autism. It's the first time that Atlanta United's Unified team has participated in this competition, and they're one of only two MLS teams that are participating in this year's event. You know, we've got a chance to see the Unified team a lot over the past couple of years. We've called games. They traveled internationally for the first time this season up in Toronto. We'll have the call coming up here soon. When Toronto comes to town, they'll be traveling down. Really big opportunity this week for the Unified team out in Texas.
It's really cool. It's a cool opportunity, especially with what Marc Gelamin has done with that squad. They're a fun group, and they're a really talented group as well. And they're just so energetic on and off the field. And good luck to them, especially in the Genuine World Cup. We're all going to be rooting and watching from here in Georgia.
Four headlines from around the world. Number one, let's start with the England women's national team. They won the Euros in penalties over Spain. I said it, and some people got in their feelings about it. I said Spain was the better team on the day. I said Spain was the better team in the tournament. I think the numbers back it up. England led in the knockout games, and this is quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. They led for less than 5 minutes. Spain trailed for less than 5 minutes. But what it shows you is mentality is a huge factor in this. And England came back and turned results around consistently in the quarters, in the semis, and in the final. And they held their nerve in penalty shootouts and got it done. Hannah Hampton, the goalkeeper from Chelsea, was amazing. Her story is amazing. I talked about it recently on AST. But Chloe Kelly, I think, is the player that epitomized this team, along with Lucy Bronze, who played with a fractured tibia in the tournament, which is amazing and insane at the same time. But Chloe Kelly was really at the bottom of her career's trajectory in December, January, where she wasn't playing at Manchester City. She was trying to get a move away. They weren't really receptive to it. She was very frustrated and spoke about it publicly. Finally got the move to Arsenal, won the Champions League at Arsenal, and impacted every single game that she came into in this tournament and converted the essential penalty as well. What'd you make of England getting it done, even though they didn't really play their best? I thought they played better last time around in the Euros. They played better in the World Cup, but they lift the trophy anyway.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, especially with the way that the match went. I thought Spain was 100% the better team. But it is mentality. It's a mentality thing. And, you know, even just from looking at the journey of England and the highs and the lows that they went through in the tournament, I mean, starting out losing 2-1 to France and then turning it around in the group stage, moving on, and then the up and down that you had through every single part of the tournament to get there, from the quarterfinals to the semis to the final. I said it talking to Caroline Hood, our intern for the SDH Network, talking about it, is when you look at the way England has played, it is a mentality thing. And being caught in those scenarios, how do you manage it? We talk about all the time with response in games. How do you respond to going down a goal? How do you respond when this situation happens? And every single time it happened, England responded in kind. And I think a lot of it has to do with the personnel that they have. Ajimong, I thought, was one of my favorite players to watch in the tournament.
Michelle Ajimong was outstanding.
She's incredible. I honestly love Kelly as well, but I mean, she was my standout throughout the entire tournament and what she brings off the bench and even just to the team as well, the energy. And I really enjoyed watching England. I'm happy that they got to lift the trophy. Just because you look at the journey, and I think it's a cool, well-rounded one. Because even though, yes, in the final, it was Spain's to win, but you got to make those opportunities count. You got to make them count.
They didn't win it, and they had the opportunities to do it, but they couldn't get it done. England held their nerve and lifted the trophy back-to-back, and that's the first English national team that has won a major trophy not in England. Yep. 66 men, the 2022 women, both won it in England. This is the first time an English national team has gotten it done away from England. Number two on the headlines, and this is according to reports at this stage, the World Cup draw is expected to be held on Friday, December 5th in Las Vegas. And sources are telling ESPN that the front-running venue is the Sphere, which would be insane for a World Cup draw at the Sphere. 17,500 people can be in the room. There's a 54,000 square meter screen that they can utilize for this. This would be nuts, and it would kind of get the 2026 World Cup started on the right foot, in my opinion, of chaos.
So we're making a trip down if it is at the Sphere, correct? We're going to make a road trip?
I don't know about that. I'm not driving to Vegas, first off. I don't know. There's a very good chance that there will be watch parties in Atlanta for this, and we will be heavily involved. So I'm expecting we will be in the A for this, but I want to see how they get this done at the Sphere. We're waiting on official announcement, but right now it's set for the first Friday in December in Vegas for the World Cup draw. Number three on the headlines, quickly, a couple of big names that look like they could be coming to MLS, one more likely than the other. Thomas Müller, legend at Bayern to Vancouver. That looks like it's all but done at this point. And LAFC is chasing Sun Heung-min from Tottenham Hotspur, and they are kind of waiting for Tottenham's Asian tour to wrap up, which Sun is a big part of. Vancouver gets a lot better with Müller. Sonny to LAFC, I think, is a massive move if that one comes to fruition.
I agree. I think Sun coming would be insane because of what he brings. He is one of my favorite players to watch in the Premier League. I think he's just there's something about him. I can't even describe it. I just love his story. I love his character, and he has the talent too. Like, he's very talented, and I'm happy, you know, with Tottenham Hotspurs as well. They got their trophy, and he got to lift one with them as well. You know, if he's wanting a change to LAFC, that's awesome. It'd be cool to have him in MLS. I would be overjoyed if he came to MLS. It would be really cool to see a player like Son come into this league. That one would be incredible. And then Thomas Müller coming to Vancouver as well. That would make Vancouver, and the way that they're playing now, that piece as well, they're going to be deadly, especially with the way that they've been playing this season.
We'll see if they can make it fit. Remember, a lot of people thought Olivier Giroud was going to be that for LAFC, and ultimately they didn't get better when they added him. We'll see if Müller can fit into what Vancouver has done so well. I think Son to LA is a sneaky big move from a ticket sale, from a jersey sale.
Yeah.
Like Chicharito to the Galaxy, not Messi level, but in terms of activating the Korean community in Los Angeles and really just in the league, as across the league, I think that's a gigantic move if it can get done. Number four on headlines, if you're into the sicko behavior and you watch the Argentine League and you're into misery, watch Boca Juniors' upcoming match against Racing. Boca's winless in their last 11 games in all competitions. It's the longest winless streak the club has ever had. And the reports out of Argentina are that if they do not win on the weekend, that their manager, Miguel Angel Russo, who just got there before the Club World Cup, would be on his way out the door. So stay tuned if you are a Boca fan or if you just enjoy chaos out of Argentina. All right, three things that make us smile quickly as we wrap up Atlanta Soccer tonight. Number one for me, Necaxa, they're wearing a special kit in the League's Cup. It is similar in style to what they wore in 1995. That is when Necaxa won their first ever Liga MX trophy, 53 years after the club started. They have three now. That was the first one, and they're doing a special kit that they'll wear in this competition to honor that. I love when you can kind of connect the dots. I love when you can add a historical element to it. It's white with red sleeves on it. It's a good looking kit. Good on Necaxa for honoring their history. What's something that makes you smile, Maddie?
Well, first of all, you told me about the kit. Now I want to buy it. And this is
you want to buy every kit.
I do. But it's fine. We'll move past that. We'll talk about that later. But for mine is a little bit of a tease, more or less. So Georgia Impact's UPSL team has a very, very special announcement coming on Thursday. I can't say what it is, but it's really, really cool for Georgia Impact. But you'll have to tune in to their Instagram, which is GAImpact_UPSL. So make sure you guys are following on Instagram to get the news on what that would be. That's going to come out on Thursday, but it's really, really cool.
Third thing that makes me smile to round out the 3-4-3, this weekend in the Vasco da Gama match, a Brazilian referee who, this isn't the first time he's done this, so I'm even more smiling about it. Goalkeeper had gotten a yellow for time wasting in the 68th minute. Did the classic thing that goalkeepers do because they can push the envelope. Acted like he was hurt. Substitutions are being made. The goalkeeper sits down. He acts like he's hurt. The referee says, no, you're fine. Get up. He won't get up. The referee goes again, says, get up. You need to get up. We're going to play. Get up. Goalkeeper just sits there and stares at him and acts like he's hurt. Referee shows him the second yellow. You're gone, buddy. You send him off. That was in the 86th minute. His team ended up conceding in the 91st. They ended up dropping the result. This is the second time this referee has done this. And this referee, I want him in Major League Soccer. I want this referee to be rewarded for his work. Because goalkeepers, and sorry, GK Union, y'all take advantage of loopholes and y'all take advantage of these things. And it's very frustrating. I'm glad to see a referee standing on business and getting it done and sending this guy off for trying to waste time. I love it.
Yeah, I like it too. We've said it so many times. I don't like it when players fake injuries, especially to time waste. I think it's just, you have these injuries that happen, and in the game, you never want to see those moments happen. And you're presenting a false narrative, and it makes you then question everything of like, oh, when a player does go down injured, then it's like, okay, are they faking it or are they not? Like, you don't do that. I think it's the biggest one with head injuries for me. We've talked about it too. That's a big one. I do not like it. I think it's really just, it's uncalled for. I like it. I like that. I like that the referee was just like, nope, you're gone. Goodbye. I like it. I think it's standing your ground. I think absolutely. I think it needs to be done more often.
Good job, Brazilian referees. One more bonus thing. I think Juanjo Parata just scored for Tigres in the League's Cup. Our old friend Juanjo getting a goal. Air Force One getting one into the back of the net. Always cool to see. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight for this edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. You will hear us again on the station tomorrow, 6:30 pregame with Abe Gordon and Maddie. 7:30-ish kickoff for League's Cup, Atlanta United and Necaxa from the Benz. And then we're back at it again on Saturday from Orlando. A little bit later kick as Atlanta United takes on Pumas. And then we'll be back here next Tuesday to talk about all of it. Adios, everybody.